Good morning, Hope Church. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. I hope you're having a great morning. I hope you enjoyed breakfast in bed and watching church in your jammies today. Ladies, I miss you. I miss all of you, Hope Church. I think we're all ready for life to get back to normal. Ladies, I think we need to have a really fun bunco night when all this is said and done and we can be together again. I was hoping to have some really exciting news to share with you this morning, but I don't. We kind of thought our granddaughter was going to maybe make an arrival last week, but we are still waiting. So I hope next Sunday we'll be able to share some exciting news. Well, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I want to remind you that you are more than enough. Each one of you can do this job of mothering, whether it's mothering the crazy brood at your home. And I have to say, my hats are off to all you moms who have, without warning, become your children's teacher as well. And I applaud you. You know, maybe you've shifted your mothering from young children to adult children, married children, or grandparenting, and all of that has its own challenges. Maybe you're a caregiver to an aging parent or grandparent. God has given us as women just an amazing ability to nurture and to care for others. Now let's be real, the images you've seen of Mother's Day are often of a woman who is completely put together. She's peaceful, she's calm, and she has stellar children. But do you ever feel that you are less than perfect? That you just don't measure up? Many things can happen in this life that make us feel that we don't measure up. Thinking we don't measure up can start when we are very young. I felt less than at a very young age. I was made fun of at school all the time. They call it bullying today, but I was painfully shy. I was awkward and kind of gangly, taller than everybody else, taller than all the boys. And to top it off, I was a redhead with freckles. Today, I am somewhat of a blonde, somewhat of a redhead with some gray peeking through. And I'm very excited that my hairdresser is able to start working again this week. But red hair wasn't popular like it is now back in the day, and I was just brutally made fun of. And I just felt like I was less than the other kids. Maybe you grew up with parents or friends, family members, teachers, who just tore you down rather than built you up. This developed a pattern of thinking that you weren't as good as the others. Tragic events, bad events can also leave us feeling less than perfect. Failures can keep you in that place of feeling defeated instead of realizing everyone experiences failures. Unrealistic expectations of ourselves and what our purpose is will leave us comparing our lives against another's rather than living the life that God has called us to live. And this pattern of thinking wants to keep us enslaved, but Christ came that we might be free. Somehow society has convinced us we need to seek perfection in how we look, in what we achieve, and what we acquire. I had an interesting talk with somebody this week. She didn't know that I had grown up in Southern California, and I didn't know that she had lived there for quite a few years. And I found the reason why she moved away, as many of her friends had, very interesting, especially knowing what I wanted to talk to you about today. This is what she said: there is so much pressure to be perfect. The things that people value above all else are shallow. She went on to say that the pressure to be perfect, to look a certain way, have certain things, just felt empty. Many friends are leaving now because they're teenagers, and it's just too much pressure on their kids. The definition of perfect is basically having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics, free from any flaw or defect. Well, that counts me out. I am flawed. I don't want to be. I want to be perfect, but I'm not. Every one of us is flawed. And if we seek perfection by society standards, we won't measure up. The book of Psalms tells us that God designed each of us while we were yet in our mother's wombs. You didn't just happen. You were thoughtfully knit together. And we need to grasp that so that heavy burden of trying to appear perfect can be lifted. You were designed by God with the skills and the talents and the temperament, the intellect, to live the life that God called you to live. Max Lucado writes in his book, God Thinks You're Wonderful, you weren't mass-produced. You weren't an assembly line product. You were deliberately planned, specifically gifted, and lovingly positioned on this earth by the master craftsman. You were made with a purpose. You were designed with the gifting you need to fulfill God's purpose in your life. And there is only one you. We need to focus on how God sees us. Stop comparing ourselves to others. Now, I am a girl, and I know I'm not the only woman who has walked into a room and instantly you size up somebody else. You look at them and think, oh, they're perfect. They look perfect. They have the perfect body. They have the perfect hair, perfect personality, perfect family. Oh, she's a perfect mom. Look at her children. They're perfect. They have the perfect house. She's the perfect organizer, the perfect leader. She's perfectly accomplished. She's the perfect Christian, and on and on. And then we measure ourselves against them. You can go from a good frame of mind to feeling defeated, depressed, disqualified, and discouraged real fast. We set a standard up, and I think it's subconsciously. I don't think we really realize we're doing it. We need to consciously choose to get off that train of negative thinking and choose to be more like Jesus rather than trying to be good as somebody else that we idolize or compare ourselves to. These thoughts of comparison are often fueled by pride and fear, our desire to be accepted, and our fear of rejection. And this is no way to live as women of God. So this morning I want to share with you some very simple truths that I hope will bring you freedom. In the days of King Saul, the Lord told Samuel it was time to find a new king. He told Samuel that he had selected one of Jesse's sons to be king. So in 1 Samuel 16:6, we are told that Samuel took one look at Jesse's son, Eliab, and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. He must have looked the part. He must have just looked royal. And then again in Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I love that. I love that so much. In our striving to be what we wish we could be, we lose sight of what is most important and what God values and truly wants from us. Believe it or not, our expectations of ourselves can be more difficult to achieve than what God's plans and expectations of us are. I grew up going to the Christian Dutch Reformed Church around the corner, and as a young child, I had just a great desire to please God, just this innate desire to do the things that God wanted me to do. And so all the neighborhood kids, we attended Calvinettes, and it's kind of was like a Christian Girl Scouts. And we had a theme verse. And I remember that verse clearly to this day. And a cool thing was, Jim and I, last Sunday afternoon, we went out to Lake Atlanta. And we were driving through an old part of Rogers. And this verse was painted on an old building in four panels. So I thought that was pretty cool. But it's Micah 6:7-8. The Lord has told you what is good. And this is what the Lord requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what he requires of us. We expect perfection from ourselves, but he requires something really quite simple, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. God is more interested in the condition of our heart and our motives than our achievements and our accolades. The next two verses I want to share with you are going to be, I'm sure, very familiar, but they're very profound in their simplicity. In fact, they are called the two greatest commandments. Matthew 22, 37, and 38. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. In our striving to be perfect, to do great things, to leave our mark in this world, we can easily neglect what is most important. By trying to live up to someone else's achievements, we really complicate what our purpose is. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Masterpiece. And we just don't feel that way, I think, very often. We are God's masterpiece, and He has created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He has planned for us to do. In Colossians 3, 1 through 3, since you have been raised to a new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits on the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We need to set our eyes on Christ, not on the things of this world, not on people that we idolize, and not on things we don't have. Remember, what God requires of us is to love Him and to love others. This is what pleases God. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now, we all think about what we're going to wear today or to an event. Now, when I go on vacation, I kind of plan out every day what I will wear and what I might want to wear, and then I way overpack. But I'm thinking, what am I going to clothe myself in? So I love this analogy in Colossians. Think about, choose what you're going to wear and put on these virtues. Clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When we get ready in the morning, these are things we should be thinking about clothing ourselves with, not just in the hustle and bustle of trying to get out of the door on time. Verse 14, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And 1 Thessalonians 2:4, our purpose is to please God, not people. Trying to please people becomes such a trap. You know, if anything, these weeks of isolation have taught us what's really important. Amen? My great desire today would be that you would realize that you are enough because of Christ in you. God has a purpose for your life that only you can fulfill. Don't strive to be somebody else, and realize what is it that God really values. And it's far different than what our society values. Love God, love those who He has placed in your life. The greatest thing we can do in this life as women of God is to love. The way you love will be a greater testimony, a greater legacy to how you live than anything you will achieve. So let's pray today. Lord, I thank you for these precious women. I thank you for all the moms and the stepmoms and the daughters and the grandmothers represented today at Hope Church. Father God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them, help them recognize that their worth is found in you. And help us, Lord, all to walk in love, loving you first and loving those that you have called us to love. Father, I pray that we would be a people that reflects you to a lost and dying world. God, we love you and we thank you, and I pray, Father, that you would bless my dear friends, my dear family at Hope Church. Encourage them this week and be with them in Jesus' name. Amen.